listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. This is Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. We are not in downtown anymore, and it takes me longer than 3 minutes to get here now. And especially, did anybody have a problem today with that whole time thing? Because I'm so used to it being the last Sunday in October, and I didn't even know that it had changed in 2005. I've gone all these years, and I did not know that. Albert actually had to be the one to tell me that. But that wouldn't be an excuse for me being late, because I think it's actually an hour ahead. Who knows? Spring back, fall forward. We don't know. Anyway, we are a show, in case you're tuning in for the very first time, we are a show about informative entertainment. And we do a pretty funny show. It's funny and upbeat and, most importantly, informative to people who are pursuing careers in entertainment. And that means you guys working Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, being those little pencil pushers, which we all were at some point, flipping the burgers, using the pencil. But if you dream of a career in entertainment, then this show will help you, because basically this show gives you informative information, resources, tips, advice. Our guests are all asked to do that to help you guys. So hopefully our guest today, which I know she will, but hopefully she'll give you great, great, great advice, and then you can send us an email on the forum. So we're going to get tricks of the trade from her in the music business. So we're going to learn more about her in a couple minutes. But basically, to continue on, we encourage you to call in. If you have any questions, you really like her, you have questions about the music business, call in between 515 and 530. And the number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And we take your calls directly. There is no screening process over here. You call and you talk to us directly. But make sure you turn down your radio or your whatever you're listening on, the computer or the radio, the Wi-Fi radios, because we have feedback. So, and then it just sounds really ucky and yucky, so you don't want to do that. And again, if you liked our show and you felt it helpful, go to latalkradio.com. There is a link called Forum. Click on that link, and it takes like 1 minute for you to put in your email address and say, hey, I loved your guest, and blah, 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 blah. Hopefully it's really nice and helpful, and I forward those to the guest, and they love to hear the comments from their appearance here, so make sure you do that. Now, we have, oh my gosh, I've been waiting forever for this guest. Oh, you know what? Actually, before we do that, I'm going to hold off. I know the email, you're waiting, but you know, I'm going to hold off for a second because I completely forgot. I have a couple listeners that emailed me, and I did promise to give them a little thank you for listening. We have Tommy the Malt Man from New Jersey. What's up, Jersey? Jersey in the house. What's that? I got my big hair, and I don't care because I'm going down to the square. Isn't there a square in New Jersey? Anyway, I'm from the East Coast, so we know all about Jersey. So Tommy, the Malt Man, thank you so much for listening. And we got the lovely Patsy Black, actually Patsy Parker now, and she listens every week. Thank you so much, Patsy. I love your emails. You love every guest. I love you because you love every guest. So how can we not love you? And we have Eric from Flint, Michigan. I can't believe I'm remembering all this. I guess as an actor, this is what I retain. I wrote it down, and the sticky has long fallen off since last week. So I believe that I was supposed to promote a Funderland, and you know, I printed it out, and I'm going to go through this book during the conversation and see if I can find it. But Eric, I apologize. I printed it out to promote your Winter Funderland, and I do not see it in my book, so I may have left it somewhere in the printer. So thank you, Mr. Eric, anyway, Eric Thomas. And without further ado, we have a guest here. She is fantastic, lovely, gorgeous, hot, sizzling in every aspect, not only physically, but vocally, which is why we have her on the show today. And there is so much I could say, but I'm going to just try to be very terse and succinct. Jeannie Diva. Yes, Jeannie Diva. That is her real name, D-E-V-A. And you might want to go to her website right now. It's jeanniediva.com. That's J-E-A-N-N-I-E. D-E-V-A.com. And Jeannie Diva is a celebrity vocal coach, a celebrity singer. She just anything with celebrity and music, you'll find Jeannie Diva. Just let's just put it that way. She is an international performer, and she is also a celebrity master vocal coach. She's a clinician and a trainer of voice teachers. Wow. So you know she's got to be really hot to train voice teachers. And she's the originator of the Diva Method, and I'm sure that many of you who take vocal classes have heard of the Diva Method. It's basically a non-classical approach for singers, and we're going to tell you more about that in a minute. I'm going to let Jeannie tell you that. And now, as a recording studio vocal specialist, she's been endorsed by engineers and producers, amongst others. Now, some of the people, are you ready for this? Hot names. Aerosmith, Elton John, Bette Midler, The Rolling Stones, and Fleetwood Mac. Now, how do you like that, huh? And you know she's got to be good for these people to endorse her. And she's also been on E! Entertainment, TV Guide channels, and she's probably been on everything. And she's been a celebrity guest also in both the United States and Venezuela. So she's pretty hot in Venezuela. They yell, Jeannie Diva. And I don't know how you say that, but Jeannie Diva. I guess it would be the same. And now her client list, are you ready for this? Her client list ranges from Grammy Award winners and American Idol finalists to singers for Christine Aguilera, Elton John, Celine Dion, Stevie Wonder, and one of my favorite bands from back in the day, the J. Giles Band. I really like that song. Can't remember what it is now, but I really love that song. And let's see who else. Oh, Foghat and Patty Griffin were the leads in Broadway's Wicked. Ooh, we just saw that. You know, I've told you about that a couple times, audience. We love that show. And Grease and members of the touring cast of Color Purple and Lion King. So, woo, got some hot Broadway credits, huh? And among the thousands of singers who own her contemporary vocalist book. So that's what we're going to talk about later, because this book is really going to help you. Even if you're an experienced singer, this book is, you need this book, because she gives some tips that, I mean, you wouldn't even think of. I've heard vocalists say, I would never have thought to do that. So her book is called Contemporary Vocalist, and she also has CDs. And CDs are Patti LaBelle and Robert Plant. And there is a growing network of certified Diva Method teachers. You believe that? You got to be certified to have the Jeannie Diva Method. Actually, Diva Method. And they're on the east and west coast of the United States, as well as Sydney, Australia. So she is branching out. She's going to be in St. Petersburg, Russia one day. I don't know if she's planning on it, but I'm thinking I think she's going red soon. And Jeannie's private voice studio is located right here in Los Angeles. So we are going to find out where it is. And if you are interested in getting the best vocal coaching in the business by one of the masters, we are going to tell you where you can go to talk to Jeannie Diva. Actually, if you call between 5:15 and 5:30, you'll be able to talk to her. But you can go to her website again, Jeannie Diva, J-E-A-N-N-I-E-D-E-V-A com, and I'm sure she has an email address on there somewhere. So without further ado, let's talk to Jeannie Diva. Hey, Jeannie Diva.
Hello.
Woo! Man, it's been, you have been so busy. I have been trying to get you on the show forever, but you have been all over.
I have been traveling.
You are all over, not only all over town, but you've been, how many states have you been in since I first said, hey, because I know it was in May.
Yeah,
because I said, contacted you in May, and you were like here and there and there and there and there. Mm-hmm. You are so busy. What is going on with you, Jeannie Diva?
Well, I've been doing a lot of workshops. I've been performing a lot. I was in the Caribbean on a ship performing, and in New York, and oh my gosh, I've been on the East Coast, and then where else was I? Just finished a workshop in Nashville, just got back from Nashville, I performed at a big event down there, and
wow, she is, now let me ask you, Jeannie Diva, we want to know how Jeannie Diva came to be Jeannie Diva of Diva Method. How did you get from there to here? What's your background? What's your training? How did you first decide to become a singer? Or how did you know that you were a singer? We want it all.
Oh my gosh. How long is this show? being a little older than 19 years old, I have a lot to say.
You have a lot. You can skip a decade if you can't remember it. You might not remember the 70s.
Oh, I remember them very well.
Oh, okay. I don't know. People in the music business sometimes don't remember the 60s and 70s if they're a little, you know, if they're a little partier. You never know. Tell us.
Well, I grew up in the arts. And I actually...
You're from New York, right?
Right outside of New York, spent most of my growing up period in Greenwich Village.
The Village.
Started performing in New York City when I was 12 years old. And so that was more than 10 years ago. And... I was performing in theater, dance, and music forever. And then I finally decided to focus on music. I went to Berklee College of Music in the early 70s. Graduated there with a degree in composition and arranging in 75 and helped them launch their vocal department at that point. Then I became... And I had my major school of voice was actually in Boston. I had 8 certified teachers under me, and we serviced about 100 students, 100 singers a week, many of whom would fly in from Europe or other states in order to train, because that was the only place you could go to study my method. And I'm jumping around a little bit here.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. You were at Berklee, and now you're up to the method.
Really? So, all right, I'll go backwards.
Yeah.
So, but the thing that I did not have an original intention to teach. The reason why I started to teach is because of the breakthroughs that I had in my original research on the voice, and that research I embarked upon because I was pretty confused. And I actually ended up taking a year off from performing and singing because I had been told so many contrary things to do and not do, and you'd go to the next person and it made it worse, and it made singing less free, less spontaneous, and I was confused. So I started researching the voice from a physical standpoint because I realized that it's the body that makes sound, and it's only designed a certain way.
Right.
There shouldn't be a lot of variation, particularly on just developing the physicality of the body to make sound. In terms of style, that would be a next step. But voice training itself should be non-style related. Like an athlete, you develop the muscles so that they perform for you. And then from there, you've got a responsive instrument, and you can be the creative artist making decisions on what sounds you want to use, how you want to create different intensities and textures and all of that kind of thing. So that's initially how I got into teaching. The breakthroughs that I had were so exciting to me, and the knowledge that I came upon was so exciting that I realized I couldn't just keep it to myself. I had to share it with other people. And at that point, I was living actually in Cambridge, Massachusetts, across the river from Boston, And I started working with all the top bands in the area because most contemporary singers, not so many now, but certainly back then, really thought that if you studied voice, you'd lose your feeling.
Right.
You know, or you would be directed into a style that you didn't want to do. And part of contemporary music has that rebel without a cause, you know, kind of raw, you know. You want to have that spontaneity and that excitement in your vocals. You don't want to sound, quote-unquote, trained.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sound trained, well, then there's something wrong with the training. Because the training should help you expand your expressivity, not lasso it and channel it, you know, tight like you're in a straitjacket.
Right.
So there's basically two purposes to voice training, as I define it. One is to be able to have the freedom of vocabulary that you want to have. How do you want to express yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And be able to do that freely, easily, and at any time of day or night that you want to, for as many hours as you want to. And here comes the second reason for it, to use your voice expressively without hurting yourself.
Mm.
So you're not having to cancel gigs. You're not, you know, oh my gosh, I can't rehearse for the next week because I lost my voice because I was singing too hard. It's not that you're singing too hard. It's how you're working with your body to get those hard sounds. And that also requires some exercise, mm-hmm. again, just like any athlete.
Right. Yeah, I hear about a lot of singers who get those lymph nodes or those nodules on their vocal cords.
Polyps or nodes.
Polyps or nodes. Yeah. Yeah, and what is that? I know a lot of them. What is that caused from?
Well, primarily it's caused by too much friction of the muscle tissue that's in the center of the front of your throat that are people call vocal cords, but mm-hmm. they're not cords. They're not strings. They're
little flaps.
And they have muscles in them.
Right.
And they need to be in certain positions and stuff in order to vibrate and make sound. So if a person is grinding them together or trying to manipulate their breath through muscle tension in the throat because the breath is mismanaged and stuff, then they can easily end up just like getting blisters on your hands.
Yeah.
And it would create that. Sometimes polyps, which are little like balloons that float up on the on the surface and stuff, and can make singing and speaking painful.
Mm.
That sometimes can come from, frankly, smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Sometimes even more so, smoking pot.
Right.
Because that the particles from pot are much harsher and much hotter,
right.
and will cause a deterioration in the mucous membrane and the physiology.
So that goes without saying, it's from smoking crack too, people, right?
Amen.
So anything that's being inhaled, you can't smoke crack and you can't smoke marijuana and hash or no smoking. It's not good for the vocalist. But let me ask you on that. A lot of people, I know, of course, they have the no smoking, thank God, in most places that you perform, but there are still places that people smoke in. Mm. You know, West Virginia and, you know, places like that, I hear that. I've heard some places.
Yeah.
What do singers, how can they prevent themselves from inhaling that smoke? Because it's the same thing. It's still going to irritate the vocal cords, right?
Yeah, it can. I mean, it depends. Sometimes the stages that a singer is on is high enough or separate enough from the audience, or there's fans or whatever, so it's fine. This isn't a point that I think we really want to spend a lot of time on in a short interview because
it's very complicated.
Yeah.
It's a very complicated situation. I hope I sound like I'm in a tunnel. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know. That's better. Yeah.
Then you'll have to get closer to the mic.
Yeah, I don't like that tunnel sound. That's really good. I like this much better. Yeah, I was just really having a problem over here. I'm so distracted because I sound like I'm in a tunnel, and I don't like that whole wind tunnel sound. Okay, so Jeannie Diva, this is your hour. What do you want to talk about? Why don't you fill a whole hour? Tell us what you want to do.
Oh,
since my questions are not going to, my questions take a long time, so I'll be asking her very detailed questions. So tell us what you want to talk about.
Well, you know, I'm here to be of help to singers. So,
Let's help some singers.
Let me give you different parameters, you, the listening audience.
Okay.
And then if anybody has any particular concerns or questions or troubles, or you've been told something that you're not sure is right and you want to find out the facts about it, then anybody in the listening audience can call in and ask those questions. So I handle details, everything from vocal technique, which is the developing of the of your instrument, which is your body, the voice, to vocal performance. And vocal performance splits into two parts. One is live on the stage, and the other is in the recording studio. And the recording studio handling of vocals is combines your ability to perform live, but there are a lot of other very specific recording studio sensitive issues that come into play when you're dealing with electronics. There's also, of course, electronics when you're performing live that can throw you off, and sometimes even the quote-unquote best technique in the world can end up being trashed because your stuff that's happening with your microphone, your PA, or your sound equipment. So that's another area of interest. Then there's, of course, also things about nutrition and what is going to serve you best in helping your body so that you're taking responsibility for your instrument. And, you know, a guitarist would never take their guitar and roast it over a fire and then expect to have a good instrument to play, or cut the strings, you know, and then think that they're going to have something to play. So we have a certain degree of responsibility that we need to take for our instrument, whether we're a voiceover artist speaking or doing characters where there's a lot of vocal demand, or you're a singer. There's also stuff about who really is playing the instrument. You know, your body isn't playing itself. You, as a spiritual entity, is the one who's creating the ideas and deciding on the message that you want to get across to your audience, and what message do you want to be responsible for as a creative artist. Are you interested in spreading hate, or are you interested in uplifting? And depending on which area you've decided to support, it doesn't have to be so black and white. There are shades of gray. You know, you need to know what is it as an artist. Are you going to take responsibility for putting out into the world? That is going to have a lot to do with how well your voice responds, because if you are in any conflict about the message that you're getting across, it will show itself in how your instrument responds. For example, if you're feeling bad one day, or you're feeling like crying because something upsetting just happened, how easy it is it to just talk? You can feel the pressure, the tension in your throat. You try to sing, it'll be jammed up as well. So there we have, you know, emotions showing themselves on how the body is responding. So your emotional health is also very important. Now, that can end up being as simple as, who do you surround yourself with? Do you have positive influence or negative influence? Are you surrounding yourself with people who think that life is a drag and you can't succeed no matter what you do? If that's true, you should find yourself some new friends. It's about attitude.
Yep. That's true.
So it all shows in your voice.
So, but question for you, how, and then if this is taking up too much time, let me know, but how would one, if, I mean, these are things that affect us every day. We really sometimes can't control things that happen. Like if you're a singer and you're about to go out and perform, you could hear 5 minutes before you go on that a relative died, your husband's been cheating, your boyfriend's breaking up with you. I mean, these are all things that could happen. What do you teach that's so different from another vocal teacher that would be able to have someone harness their emotions instantaneously that they're going to go out and give a better performance than, say, another teacher's school? What does the Diva Method teach that's going to be the best?
That is an awesomely worded question.
I know it.
Bravo.
And if I get to ask more, I'll get them in there if I can.
Yeah, yes. Well, okay, look. The thing is that if a person knows that they are in control of their car, they know how to deal with it if they're driving on ice, exactly how to turn the wheel, whether to step on the brake or not. All these different things, you know, come an emergency, this is how I handle it. How to use your rear view mirror, you know, all the basic details about driving a car, then you know that something weird could happen on the road and you can deal with it. Similar with your voice. Here we've got this body. It can make sound. There are thoughts about singing that will actually debilitate a singer because they're off center from how the body works. But if you understand the basics and they're factual, if you know the hows and whys and wherefores, and you're not just following somebody's direction because they said, now when you sing, you should support your voice with a column of air and, you know, breathe into your kneecaps. And then when you sing, clutch your toes, you know, and you're like, well, I'm paying them $100 an hour, so I guess I should do that. But maybe that's not the right direction. How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know?
Right. So that's why I educate singers.
Right.
Because I don't want anybody to follow the directions that I give just because I give them.
Right.
I want them to know that it makes sense. And I initiate the understanding of the singer because that's where their self-confidence is going to lie. Not in being a robot and just following directions, but in understanding. And, you know, you can get real complicated about it if you want to sound really pompous and important. But the thing is that you can also be important by just speaking truth. And it's simple how the body is designed to make sound. It's really simple. And part of my research revealed a way of addressing it so that it can basically be your automatic instrument. It'll work perfectly for you. You don't have to think about breathing. You don't have to think about supporting it, et cetera, from the diaphragm and stuff. It just all works for you. You develop it from there, and you start to realize you can trust what's going to come out of your mouth. You don't have to second guess yourself. So if you're in a troubled situation and something bad just happened and you still have, you know, the show has to go on type of thing, if you know what you're doing, that can ride you through it. So that you just know how to focus. And then there's also performance techniques so that you know how to focus with your material and connect with your audience. And actually what can end up happening is you can end up lifting yourself out of the troubled time and, shall we say, in a way, disconnect from it, you know, and rise above it and create a situation through performing that actually makes you feel good.
Right.
And then maybe the things that were bad get better.
I have a question for you. There are people who sing, and I know I brought this up with a couple other actual singers and asked their opinion, but I want to ask the expert now. What would you do, or how would you guide a person that came to you and they were singing in a genre of music that, if a multiple of people heard and said, you know, I don't know. I don't really feel that he has or she has the voice to be singing that genre of music. Hmm. But they loved that genre of music and they wanted to sing, but it just did not sound good. What would you recommend? How would you get them to find the genre of music that really sounded good? Because a lot of people think they can sing rock and roll. They think they can sing blues. They think they can sing jazz. They think that because they're a good singer, they can sing all of it. And they probably can technically, but that doesn't mean it's going to sound really good. One of them is going to sound better, or maybe two of them may sound better than the other. How do you handle that, or how would you handle that?
Well, first, let me say that on my website, jeanniediva.com, there's an article that I wrote called What's My Style? And it's, I believe it's actually a three-part article because the answer is
very
not
long.
In one sentence.
It's very long.
There's aspects to it. You know, if a person is singing in a style that doesn't suit them, usually that's a sign of someone who has not really rolled up their sleeves and explored enough.
Yeah.
There's things to know, not only about the act of singing and developing your instrument, but there's things to know about, again, what is it that you want to say and how do you want to say it?
Right.
Now, style really has a lot to do with what do you want to say and what emotions do you want to get across? A quick, I'll try to make this a fast story,
okay.
But some years ago, I had a singer who was training with me and she was relatively new. She had been in a couple of bands, but not for very long. And so we started developing her voice, and she was doing great. Her range was expanding. She had more tone, more power. She could sing longer and longer, and her voice was getting stronger, not weaker from singing
right.
more, you know, more hours, all these good things. So she started auditioning. And one day she came in for a lesson, and she was all excited that she had been chosen to be part of a band. Well, that was the beginning of the end. Because fortunately, only a short amount of time, but nonetheless, for a number of weeks of now being with this band, she started losing things that she had gained. Her voice and her throat was developing all kinds of tensions. She was looking kind of troubled. And after several lessons of this, where it was so distinctly different than how
right.
it was before she started with this band, I started asking her what was going on with the band. And one thing led to the next. And I found out this was during the day that punk rock was starting and stuff. Okay. So it was a punk rock group, and I asked her to tell me of some of the lyrics, and they were pretty vicious. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to be terribly judgmental here. Let me just see if I can dig around a little bit more. And I started asking her, what do you want to be responsible for as far as how you make your audience feel? What's the net result of you performing in your mind? What do you want to have? What is that achievement? And she started telling me about how she wants her audience to walk out feeling all elated and, you know, good
inspired.
About themselves and
right.
And I said, well, let's take a look at these lyrics and are they going to create that effect? And even more so, lyrics is one thing, right?
Right.
But what about the sound of the music and how you're using your voice? Are those the sounds that are going to uplift?
Right.
And she realized that they weren't. She quit the band. Within 1 week, found the right band that was, because now she realized, you know, it was there all along. She just never had really put
right.
her finger on it. And so the style that she ended up choosing supported the results that she wanted to have.
Wow.
So, yes, you can sing rock, and it can be angry rock, or it can be uplifting rock.
Right.
Yes, you can sing pop, and, you know, it can be all about jumping in bed with the next guy, or it can be about, I don't know, living a good life and,
Christian
you know,
rock.
Spreading
yeah.
the joy.
Christian
yeah.
Rock.
So there are these different things.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, what can you do with your voice right now?
Right.
And are you taking the right steps to increase what you can do?
Mm-hmm.
Because the human voice is a body. That means it's an alive instrument. That means it's either evolving or deteriorating.
Right.
You can do the right things to help it evolve, and that means that by whatever tomorrow is, you can sing styles that yesterday you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that.
Question for you. Albert and I are utterly fascinated. Now, I'm not a singer, as everybody knows. Albert and I are utterly fascinated with the new style of singing. And what I say by new style is that we just kind of started hearing it, what, Albert, maybe in the 90s, or it's that it's
machismo.
We don't know if this is the word, but it's where the young people go, ah, la, la, la.
So nicely done.
Sounds like it originated in the Middle East.
All right,
out of the Aboriginal.
I warned you I couldn't sing, but you know, like the Christina Aguilera and the, you know,
Mariah
how
Harry,
they elongate those notes. Is that, what is it, machismo or something?
No.
What is that?
Melisma.
Melisma.
Embellishment.
Yeah. Melisma is a word that's used in more in classical singing. So there, it's riffs, runs, or embellishments.
Okay.
But the longer ones that you're talking about usually are called riffs or runs.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Well, somebody actually told me, a bass player told me that there was a name for it, and he said it was machismo. That's what Albert and I have been saying.
Devices to keep you in tune.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have a device that'll help you have a machismo.
Yeah, because we, Albert and I are just, we
don't
love
call it a machismo.
We've given it that name. It's a damatismo. We don't know. But it's just, we love it. And we find that no matter, well, me especially, but, you know, Albert's been singing for a while. But even experienced singers cannot do that. I have had many, many people who are experienced singers for years and sound really good who say they cannot do that.
Yeah.
How did they do it? How did they do it? How do you do it? And if you're an experienced singer who is, you know, an older singer, because how could you, you know, maybe change your voice? Or will you ever be able to do that?
I will answer.
All right.
Okay, first of all, on my Contemporary Vocalist Volume 2, and we sell it as on my website as a single voice training CD.
Okay.
I have a voice training CD called Riffs, Runs, and Embellishments.
Oh, machismos!
I'll now change the title.
Okay.
What I did was it's like a band that plays a certain section of music 4 times in each key. And there's a riff or a run or an embellishment that goes over it, and you sing it 4 times, and then it changes key. So you work it up and down your range. And the thing about practicing riffs is that usually if you're singing along in a song, you know, it goes by, and it goes by really fast. And you know, you have to drill it to get expert with it. So
right.
What are you going to do? You're going to stop your CD and rewind it a few seconds and try to, you know, that's
what Albert was doing, right? To learn. Yeah, that's what he was doing.
I want
to
get that CD.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah.
Because he's fast. He wants to
it.
Do that.
Cool. We sell it as a download. My products sell download or hard copy.
Yeah. And your
which is cool.
And your website is so fascinating in that I haven't seen anyone else selling the products like you do, because you offer them available for download, and then you've also got that vocal lessons, like if you're not here in LA or in one of the other many cities that Jeannie Diva is in where she gives the private lessons, you can do the voice conferencing?
Internet video conferencing. There's a certain software that you can download for free.
Okay.
And it,
they can find that on your website, right?
You can find it on my website. You just go to some place on my website.
GenieDiva.com.
Well, you go to GenieDiva.com and then look on the navigation bar, and I think it says lessons or something, and you click on that. And then there's choices. And if you're interested in lessons by internet, there's a link. And that takes you to the specific page that gives you more information about how it's done and that type of thing. I've been giving lessons by phone, since 1998, I think, actually.
Isn't that fascinating?
So, I mean, I first tried to do it with, I can't remember what those boxes are called.
Band in the box?
No. Your voice would come through this box. I can't remember. It didn't work.
Okay.
Anyway, but I was doing it via telephone because I don't need to see a singer to know what's happening physically. I can tell by how the sound waves of their voice are.
Wow.
What they're doing with their stomach, their tongue, if they're tensing their lips, I can hear it in the sound. So I've been coaching singers that way, and then free internet telephone came out.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting. And now, you know, a couple of years ago or something, the ability of using a webcam, so you're dealing with real-time audio, real-time Vizio, and, you sit on your end, or stand, and me on mine, and you've got the speakers, you've got the microphone, usually right in the monitor, or if not, you just use a plug-in thing. You could easily get at Radio Shack, or if somebody actually was going to take lessons in this manner with me, I would give them suggestions of...
Right in the privacy of your own home. Now, that's the way to go, because we as a society are becoming more and more disconnected from our peoples.
Amen.
And...
Where's the peeps?
Our peeps are now. I mean, I remember we used to just be able to just show up at their house when I was little. We just ride on our little bike, and we want to know if our friend's home. We ride on our little Huffy, and we go to our friend. We didn't have a cell phone or email or call.
That's
we just show up, right? Now
Unless
we
you were Harry Potter, and then you use owls.
That's right. Well, we are coming down to the 10-minute mark, and we want to make sure that we get everything in. But I want my audience to hear what a fantastic singer Jeannie Diva is. So I am going to play one of her many zillions of songs. It's one of a zillion, I'm sure. And this is actually one of my favorites. It's called, is it White or Shade of Pale? I always get that mixed up. I just call it Pale. And it's one of my favorites. And this is Jeannie Diva. Now, we're not going to play the whole thing because I want to talk more about it, but we're going to play a portion of it. And then if you want to hear the rest, where can we hear you actually singing, like if they want to hear more of you?
Thanks. I have a number of songs up on MySpace.
Okay. And that's myspace.com/
Jeannie. Oh, no, sorry. It's / Diva Voice Studios, plural. So it's D-E-V-A Voice, V-O-I-C-E, Studios, S-T-U-D-I-O-S.
And you can hear all sorts of samples. You can hear her singing. So let's listen to A Whiter Shade of Pale by Jeannie Diva.
The waiter brought the answer hers just closely. Turn the whiter shade of pale.
Jeannie Diva, honey. Woo! Jeannie Diva. That was hot. And you even had some of my machismos in there. I heard
I
you ready
machismos.
To... You were getting ready to hit in full machismo mode, and it just... You pulled it back. That was very good. I love that power, how you start out. Your voice is so powerful. And you teach that, I imagine, in the Diva Method teaches you. But that sounded really great.
Thank you.
So anyone else want to hear that, you go to myspace.com/Diva, D-E-V-A, Voice Studios with an S, and she will be there singing her little heart out. Now, we got 5 minutes, so I want you to tell our audience it's open house, free tips, advice, resource information, anything that you want to talk about, if the floor is open to you. There's a lot of people who are singers out there, and they need advice. Maybe not everybody can afford vocal lessons.
That's right.
What can we tell people that can't afford to go to someone, you know, a mm-hmm. vocal teacher, let alone a celebrity vocal teacher like you? Mm-hmm. What tips could you give them free of charge on the Priscilla Leona Question Reality Show today? We're getting some free advice here.
Hey. All right. Well, first of all, let me back this up by saying that one of the purposes of my website is to give people information. So go to my website. There's free tips. There's free lessons online. There's a wealth of information there that's waiting for you.
That is true. And may I interject, if you get on Jeannie Diva's email list, as I am, I don't know if it's every week, but every 2 weeks, I get an email from her, and it's always this, you know, tips for vocalists, and it's full of incredible information that you can use, and it's free, and it comes in really cute emails, and then she's always got an update on what's going on. It's a newsletter, but it also gives free tips. So if you get on her email list, you will get these tips, and they are really, really helpful and great.
That's right. And now, if a person also signs on to that mailing list, when I travel around to give workshops, usually my workshops are... The cost is low. It's kept low.
Oh,
so as long as we have your email address, well, we do a general mailing, and then we send it specific to that area, that I'm going to be in.
Okay.
So it's very important just to give us your zip code, which when you fill out the form asking for the free
newsletter.
With the vocal tips, you just plug it in.
Okay.
And that way we're able to make sure that you get content that's specific to where you're living.
Right. Now, you have also, the Diva Method is taught at many of your locations across the country. Can you
tell us
what cities they're in?
Yeah, right now I've got, there's 2 Jeannie Diva Voice Studios in the Boston area, in the greater Boston area. There's one in Denver. There's one in North Hollywood, and just opening now is one in Sydney, Australia.
Cool.
So,
why Sydney, may I ask? I mean, I'd love to go to Sydney, Australia.
It just happened that way.
I mean, it's great.
Yeah, well, I was giving a fabulous singer, songwriter voice lessons via internet video, and she was really good, recording artist, etc., and she very much wanted to teach my method, so...
Oh, cool.
Once a person is accepted into my program as a teacher in training, I have devised a way of doing it remotely. And by having the internet video, it helps as well.
Okay. All right. So find all that information out on jeanniediva.com, and you may also qualify as one of her teachers. I don't know, but you might. Okay, let's give us a couple tips. We got 2 minutes. Woo! What can we say?
Okay, the first tip is to sing with a voice that is going to be more flexible and responsive. Your tongue needs to be limbered. And there's simple ways of doing this by just slowly, not darting it out, slowly stretching your tongue out of your mouth and down. Mm-hmm. So it's out and down over your lip and down. Then slowly bring it to the right. Slowly bring it back to center. Slowly bring it to the left. Bring it back to center. Slowly bring it in your mouth and swallow. Mm. You can do that up to 3 times in a row, but not more than that, because the tongue can be strained.
Yeah.
And then you want to take the thumb and second index finger of a hand, go right where the underneath of your chin is connecting to the top of your throat, mm-hmm. and just massage it. Mm. That's the root of the tongue.
Mm.
And you do that, and then say something. You probably notice that your voice feels a bit freer, has a little more tone to it.
Very nice.
Can you do that in concert in front of the fans?
Absolutely.
Hold on.
Gene Simmons of Kiss did it regularly.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
People didn't realize he was just getting his voice ready for singing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there are some tips. There you go, from Jeannie Diva. Just one of many tips. And, again, you can find her information, everything about her, on jeanniediva.com, JeannieDiva.com. And we thank you so much for coming on the show, Jeannie Diva. And we enjoyed this. I'm sure my audience enjoyed it. And contact her. I'm telling you, she's really, really, really good. A couple of my friends have gone to her, and they have definitely seen an improvement in their voice, for sure. So thank you so much, Jeannie Diva. You want to say anything?
My pleasure. Yes, keep on singing.
You got anything coming up? Anything coming up? Any performances? What about the Met? Let's talk about
right
Joe.
Now, my husband. My husband, who's is a drummer, and he's with an original act that's called Natasha Corrigan and the NC5.
Yeah.
They're an awesome original rock group, they'll be playing at the Mint this coming Sunday.
It's the 9th.
The 9th, mm-hmm. Sunday, the
'Cause
9th
my birth,
of this
my
month.
Birthday is the 12th, November 12th. That's how I know that. Cool. So it's November 9th at 9:30.
At 9:30 p.m. 9:30 p.m. right, at the Mint.
In Hollywood?
The Mint is somewhere in the Melrose area, of just below Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And you can look it up online, of course. And if you come, I will be there. So please come. I'll be sitting at a booth on the side, and you can come over and introduce yourself to me. Let me know that you heard this show.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on Question Reality.